And please join me in prayer. Let us pray. God of mercy, grant that the word you speak this day through the scriptures may take root in our hearts and bear fruit in our lives for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and to his glory. Amen. Today's scripture comes from 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 1. You'll find that on page 305 of the Bibles in the pew racks in front of you. Hear God's word. David again brought together all the able young men of Israel, 30,000. He and all his men went to Bela in Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim on the Ark. They set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart when the Ark of God on it, with the Ark of God on it, and Ahio was walking in front of it. David and all Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, with castanets, harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, and cymbals. Quite a band. So David went to bring up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the Ark of God had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the Ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women, and all the people went to their homes. Today's scripture is an incredible passage, an amazing story in the history of Israel. So let me get right to it. First, I want to recap the story for you. Take a look at 3 people mentioned in this passage and draw a few lessons from each of them. The story begins in this way. David again brought together all the able young men of Israel, 30,000. Step 2, to bring up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom. Many years before this, the Ark of the Covenant, surely you've seen the Raiders of the Lost Ark, the Ark of the Covenant had been captured by the Philistines and was held there by them for about 20 years. In case you've never seen a depiction of the Ark of the Covenant, it's basically a big box. And this box contained items like the tablets of stone that on which God engraved the Ten Commandments, Moses' staff, some manna from the wilderness. The box went with them wherever they traveled. The ark symbolized the presence of God in their midst. No matter where they wandered, God was with them, and God would provide for them. It was a highly valuable and symbolic item. King Saul, of course, had been without the ark during his reign, and the ark resided in the house of Abinadab for safekeeping. But now David is the king, He successfully conducted various military campaigns so that many of Israel's enemies had been defeated. So David decided to move the ark from Shiloh to Jerusalem, his new capital city. He wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant there, which was to be both the political and religious center of the nation. It had been a very long time since the Israelites had a specific location in which to worship and from which they would be governed at the same place. It was something of a shrewd political move on David's part to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. By bringing this religious symbol to his political capital, he identifies himself with God and with the kingship of God. Shrewd politicians in this country have also used the trappings of religion to gather support for his or her political platform. Just because someone throws the name of God around, however, does not mean that they are legitimately a person of God. But in this case, I think David was legit. He was the man of God, and his motivations were sincere. 1 and 2 Samuel portray David as a man after God's own heart. David consistently shows that he legitimately worshiped God and could not imagine being king without having God's blessing. Verse 3 says, "They set the ark on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill." Must have been Pittsburgh-like geography, was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart. This verse does not seem to be significant unless we look at the other verses in the Bible that talk about the Ark of the Covenant. On the ark were gold rings through which those who transported it were to put rods, long poles, in order to carry it. That was the prescribed method for carrying the ark. But when Abinadab and his two sons were given the privilege of moving the ark back to Jerusalem, they hit on this new technology. They thought, well, since other countries around us were using oxen and a cart, let's us try that too. And so they put the Ark of the Covenant on an ox cart. Sounds reasonable. But it wasn't what God had instructed. Verse 5 says, "David and all the house of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord with castanets, harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, and cymbals. There was plenty of music, singing, and even dancing. And no one danced more vigorously than David himself." Next comes a few verses that were left out of our reading for today, but I want to tell you what they say. Verses 6 through 11 tell of the death of Uzzah, one of the sons of Abinadab. As the procession begins, the oxen stumble, and the ark kind of teeters on the cart, and Uzzah reaches out his hand to steady it. Verse 7 says, "The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore God struck him down, and he died there beside the ark of God." Well, isn't that a shocking turn of events? One of the men transporting the ark is struck down by God. We'll come back to that in just a minute and say more, but we can imagine the effect that this death had on the parade, the procession to Jerusalem. I remember reading about early in the years of American baseball that an umpire died on the field, and the game stopped, and they sent everyone home. That seems to be what happened in this case. When Uzzah died, they'd stopped the procession. They waited for 3 months, and the ark was kept at the house of Obed-Edom. We can presume that when they began to transport it again 3 months later, that they used the poles that went through the gold rings to carry it the way in which God had prescribed. The ark is brought into Jerusalem successfully. In verse 16, we see a second character, First was Uzzah. Now we see another character. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. That verse holds a lot of meaning. David was celebrating by dancing. Basically, let me give you the full picture, in his tighty-whities. He wasn't fully clothed, you might say. David was celebrating, and basically Michal sees her husband David and is upset that he's behaving that way and that the servant girls around are getting entertained by this. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, who is now David's wife, is very upset. And later they have an argument. In the final paragraph, the ark is brought in. There are offerings, and David gives to everyone a gift, a loaf of bread, a cake of dates and raisins. Then all the people go to their homes, and that's the story. Now, what do these three main characters have to teach us from this story? First, let's take David. He's the main character. It's all about David. His story holds the center place, and the big question is, why was he dancing? Why did he dance so uninhibitedly? Well, he danced recklessly and joyfully because, I think, he was responding to the presence of God coming to where it was supposed to be, moving the ark to Jerusalem, and he was just overflowing with joy. He couldn't contain his emotion. He was not the kind to be calculating and over-concerned with political correctness or even proper protocol for a king. He trusted his instincts, and his instincts told him, let go and worship God. Imagine him as a boy who grew up tending sheep in the fields. We know that he killed lions and bears on many occasions to protect the sheep. When a lion comes to attack, he didn't think rationally about his plan of attack. He just responded in order to protect his flock. Here again, he just responds in the moment. He trusts his instincts to wildly and uninhibitedly worship God. And I think David is the kind of person who knows God had protected him in days gone by, and therefore God had always been there for him. So David, in turn, was going to be there for God. And he didn't hold back. The second important character in this story is Uzzah, the man who was struck dead because he touched the Ark of the Covenant. And the crucial question to ask about him is, why did God strike him dead? Isn't God someone who is consistently revealed as the giver of life, patiently calling people to repentance, constantly seeking the lost, forever showing his steadfast love for us? So it makes us uncomfortable when we come across an event like this in the scriptures. What has Uzzah done to deserve this? Well, the Bible doesn't really say specifically what he did. I think we have to speculate a little. The narrative itself doesn't tell us much, but we do know the ark had been in the house of his father, Abinadab, for years. So we assume that Uzzah and his brother had been taking care of the ark. Actually, do a little extra reading. Christian tradition tells us that Uzzah was the man in charge of the ark. So we can think that he was probably fussy about it, about how it was cared for, about how it was treated. Perhaps he had a sense of ownership about the ark. So he had to protect the ark. He had to protect God, in a way. Maybe he also thought he could manage God. But the Bible says no one is to touch the ark. Perhaps Uzzah made the mistake of thinking he was in charge of God. And some of us do that. We like to put God in a box so that we can manage God. We don't want God to disrupt or disturb our lives, so we put God where we want God to be. But God isn't so easily controlled. there is great danger in handling the things of God. And then there's the third prominent character in this story that's introduced near the end, David's first wife. And by the way, if you go back and read about all of them, he had a string of them, including concubines. But his very first wife was the daughter of King Saul, named Michal. The poor woman has been given in marriage three times for political reasons. The first time, Saul gave her to David. The Bible says that Michal loved David at that point. Saul offered his daughter to marry if David killed 100 Philistines. Well, David went one better. He killed 200 Philistines, and Michal became his wife. Later, King Saul becomes a little unbalanced and tries to kill David, so David runs away, and Saul gave Michal to a man named Paltiel to be his wife. I suspect that Michal may have even fallen in love with Paltiel. But it's very clear that Paltiel had fallen in love with her. When David regains power, he insists that Michal be given back to him as his wife. As she is brought back, 2 Samuel 3 tells us that Paltiel follows her weeping all the way until Abner tells him to go back home. She's going to be David's wife again. By the time of our story, Michal looks out to see David dancing, and the Bible says she despised him. There is no love in this marriage. Perhaps Michal had a sense of properness because she was raised in the house of Saul. She was royalty. She knew the things that kings were supposed to do and the things that kings were not supposed to do. When David was shouting and dancing half naked, she simply couldn't approve. David and Michal have a confrontation, and the last verse of the chapter sadly says that Michal will remain childless until her death. What lessons can we learn from her? Well, when the ark is coming, when the parade, the procession is on its way, she's at her window looking at it. Why is she a spectator? Why isn't she participating? Why isn't she celebrating with everyone else? She looks on as a bystander. When she sees people with too much enthusiasm for God, it disturbs her. What character can we most identify with? Perhaps Michal, carrying old bitterness, not able to bring ourselves to participate in the celebration. Are we spectators, bystanders, looking on critically at those who worship God in ways that we do not approve? If we are, our lives are barren. If we refuse to join in the celebration when God is here. Are we like Uzzah, thinking God is in our box? Do we think we can control God? Are we the kind of people who think we can put our hand on God to guide God and move God around as we would like? If so, beware of taking God for granted. Or are we like David, a person who was a genuine person who trusted God and his instincts? He was not one to manipulate God or to try to control God, and he was no spectator. He was part of the celebration, worshiping with all his heart. Friends, it's kind of an easy choice, isn't it? Let's all be more like David. Let's all recognize God's holy presence in our midst, and let us celebrate together to sing for joy and to dance and to welcome God with all of our being. Please turn to the blue Scots Confession.